So we have a victory, right? Yeah, faith is our victory. And we have something to sing about. You know, I just left my hymnal in the car. But there's a verse that stuck out in the third or fourth verse. And I think too often we take the information in the hymns and we leave them on the table. So let's stand on that hymn and remember those words. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you that we have opportunity to hear about you in word, in song, in prayer, in the earth, in the sky, the trees. If we don't cry out and worship you, God's word says the earth will. Father, I pray that we would keep that from happening, that we would always be worshiping you. Father, go before us as we enter into your word. I pray that we would hear it, hide it deep in our hearts, and draw from it each day of each week as we make our way through this new year. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is going to be a message that is directed to each one of us, I hope. In the world we live, how is the Christian life to reflect Christ well? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, what does a Christian look like? Do they go to church? Do they sing melodious? Do they pray? How do you recognize a Christian in this world? Well, hopefully by the end of our time together, we'll figure that out. I think to recognize a Christian that is reflecting Christ well, the answer would simply be they live by faith. It is by faith that we enter into the Christian life. And it is to be by faith that we live it out. You know, I struggle that I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I promise you if I did, I probably wouldn't go. So God knows what we need to be equipped for tomorrow. You know, after we come to Christ for forgiveness of sin, which Dennis, thank you for that moment that you gave us to just inspect our life for a quarter of a minute to say, Lord, forgive me. Show me the way I should go. That was our first hymn. I love the way God orchestrates our service. When we come to Christ, we begin to understand that what we seek cannot possibly be obtained by any other means but living by faith. We realize we can't work our way to heaven. Mainly because nothing we could ever possibly do would be sufficient. Those who believe they can gain eternal life by keeping a certain list of rules or a bunch of regulations are deceived. And living in this manner goes against what the Bible clearly teaches. If you have your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to look at I'd say about 12 verses or so. I can't really do the math in my head. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 5 through 14. I'm just going to read straight through. So as you're following that, Galatians 3, verses 5 through 14. This is Paul speaking. He says, I ask you again. So this conversation has come up before. Does God give you the power of the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you as a result of trying to obey Jewish laws? No, of course not. It is when you believe in Christ and fully trust Him. Abraham had the same experience. God declared him fit for heaven only because he believed God's promises. You see from this that the real children of Abraham are all men of faith who truly trust in God. What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would save the Gentiles also. That's you and me. Through their faith. God told Abraham about this long ago when he said, I will bless those in every nation who trust in me as you do. And so it is. All who trust in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received. Yes. And those who depend on Jewish laws to save them are under God's curse. For scriptures point out very clearly, cursed is everyone who at any time breaks a single one of these laws that are written in God's book of the law. Consequently, it's clear that no one can ever win God's favor by trying to keep the Jewish laws, because God has said that the only way we can be right in His sight is by faith. As the prophet Habakkuk says it, the man who finds life will find it through trusting God. How different from this way of faith is the way of law, which says that a man is saved by obeying every law of God without one slip. But Christ has bought us out from under this doom of the impossible system by taking the curse for our wrongdoing upon Himself. For it is written in the scripture, anyone who is hanged on a tree is cursed. As Jesus was hung upon a wooden cross, now God can bless the Gentiles too, with this same blessing He promised to Abraham. And all of us as Christians can have the promised Holy Spirit through this faith. All that to say, no one is justified or made right by the law in the sight of God. What is made clear here is the just, you and me, shall live by faith. The Pharisees of Jesus' day rejected Christ because He told them this very truth, that all their righteous deeds were worthless, and that only faith in their Messiah would save them. In Romans 1, Paul says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power that saves us. The gospel being the good news that all who believe in Him will have eternal life. When we enter into the Christian life by faith in this good news, our faith grows as we come to know the God who saved us. Romans 1:17 says, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So where does this faith come from? I believe in part from reading and studying God's word, and by prayer for understanding, wisdom, and a closer, more intimate relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. To live life by faith, we must be willing to die to self. Paul told the people of his day in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, listen, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Being crucified with Christ means we consider our old lifestyle as having been nailed to the cross, and we choose to live a life in a new way, which is in Christ. A Christ-centered life is one that's focused upon a commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord. We love Him with all of our heart, with the core of our being. You see, at the core of every human decision is a motivation. Some people chase after pleasure or money. Some center their entire life on a goal, a career, or raising their family. These things are not wrong in themselves. However, that which we center our lives on can become a god. And we worship them. The human heart's been designed for worship. And if it doesn't worship God, it will worship something else. Followers of Christ who center their lives on Him desire to become like Him. They talk about Him. They think about Him. They seek to spend more time with Him. In Philippians 3:10, Paul's words speak to what were at the core of his heart. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering. Becoming like Him in His death. The Pharisees in Jesus' day were religion-centered. They could recite the rules and regulations as quick as their name and address. But Jesus had a hard rebuke for them. They were law-centered, not love-centered. And it makes a marked difference in how life is lived. So to find out how they were living, write this one down. Read Matthew 23, verses 13 through 32. Matthew 23, verses 13 through 32. Jesus tells of the woes for those who chose to live a life in this manner. A religion-centered life seeks attention and glory based upon performance. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. I'm a good person. Whereas a Christ-centered life rests in the finished work of Jesus Christ on their behalf. Jesus died for me. The least I can do is live for Him. Those who live centered on Christ have developed an awareness of the presence of Jesus actively working in their life. They avoid Satan's traps and the things of this world that so easily entangle because they keep their choices in check. Asking questions like, if Jesus was going to spend the day with me, would I be doing these things? Would I be watching this? Saying this? Every lifestyle decision has an eternal impact. Ephesians 6:11 offers good instruction. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil's schemes are to get us so caught up with the things that distract us, that steal our time, our resources, our energy away from the one thing we should be centered on, bringing glory to God. Living in this manner requires a conscious, ongoing commitment to Him. This is not easy. We're prone to following the things of this world, but Hebrews 4:14 through 16 reminds us that we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If we're going to make it through this life, we need God's help. Let me say that once more. If we're going to make it through this life, we need God's help. No person has ever lived a perfect life except Jesus. Even the most devoted will fail at times. So this morning, ask Him to reveal the thing or the things that are keeping you from centering your life on bringing glory to God in all that you do. Dennis gave you the opportunity this morning. And I think I'm going to follow his lead. We'll have that opportunity again. A Christ-centered person cannot endure living in disharmony with God. And they will confess quickly their sin to be restored to a right relationship with Him. So is that your desire for 2021? Amen, brother and sister. Some want to be focused and centered on Christ. Or maybe you're going to continue and try and make it through this life on your own. The choice is yours, but take advantage of this time right now. Because I say we took about a quarter of a minute at the beginning of this service. We're going to take the full minute. And I pray that it is the best minute of your life, well spent, inspecting yourself and expecting and allowing God to do a change in your life that will be visible to anyone that sees you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Be open. Be obedient and follow the Holy Spirit's lead. Father, I thank you for your mercy and for your grace, that you are our strength to get through this day. Father, I pray for those who are seeking truth. Let them find your truth. Father, those looking for love, let them find your love. And those in need of healing, Lord, I pray that they would experience your healing touch, both physically and mentally. Father, renew our thinking. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, knowing that you are the God who cannot not keep his promise. That you promised to go before us, that you're with us, that you'll never leave us alone. Father, I thank you that you reside in the storehouse of all that we need, and you want to shower blessings on us. You want to heal us. You want us to be strong and courageous. You ask us to walk by faith, not by sight. Father, will you continue to do the work in each one you have brought here this morning, that they and I would allow you to do the chipping and the chopping and the breaking so that you can recreate us into the people you want us to be, that we would seek to bring you glory in all that we do, that we would reflect you well in all things as we make our way through 2021 and all that it holds for us. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.